All right.
So we're going to continue on with birth pains, and what I'm going to be talking about, you know, my family's kind of going through getting the flu and everything this week, and so I wanted to talk about this week seems a little bit odd with all that going on and everything, but you know, I really wanted to talk about why there are birth pains, because last couple of Sundays we just kind of looked at what birth pains are and how they've been going down through the seven church ages, as each church age messenger preached, and as each brought their message, and then as the different ministers under them brought their message, then it created birth pains, it created a struggle. And Brother Branham explained that in the message birth pains. He said the reason there's a fight is because there's two coming out. There's a Jacob and an Esau coming out, and there's one that can't quite go along with the truth. And so what the reason for birth pains is because the truth is coming out. And so when you have truth being preached, then it creates a struggle. It creates this squeeze that produces, and eventually will produce God back in flesh again, the Son of Man, back in His people again. And so really what produces birth pains is when the people begin to catch the message of what's being preached, and they begin to speak it back. And that's why I was going through back Romans chapter 8, starting off with crying Abba Fathers, because that when you come forth a baby, you come forth speaking the word. You come forth saying, I am a Christian. I believe God's word. And you say, I believe the correct way of baptism. And you start speaking, even when you know a little baby can't quite formulate the exact way to say things or doesn't quite know what to do with the word. But yet he's crying, Abba, Father, because he recognizes how he's born, how to grow. He knows where his sustenance is coming from. He's looking at the Father in the face, so to speak, because as he comes forth, he's looking at him. And he's recognizing who he is, and he's speaking the word, because you grow based upon your confession. And I got a lot of slides here to go through, but that's pretty much what I'm going to be talking about this morning, is that birth pains are based upon the church's position, the bride's confession. And when the bride begins to speak, it produces something, and the bride is the word is being squeezed out. So it's all based upon your confession. Yeah. Now there's lots of examples in the scripture. Think about when very first one, Abel had a little talk with Cain and explained some things, and it's not written in the Bible exactly what he explained, but I think we can make a pretty good guess at the conversation that they had, and whatever that was discussed, it produced a birth pain. It produced a pain so great that Cain took a rock and walked him over the head with it, and that reproduces all the way down. I was looking at, kind of studying it, about how Brother Branham was talking about the three woes that World War I, World War II, World War III, that the earth is going through. Mm-hmm. And you begin to look at what happened in World War II, about how the Kristallnacht, the night of broken glass, when they began to pull Jews out of their homes that first night, and why were they doing that? Because of the Jew confession, because of what they believed, because of who they, because it was time for them to return back to their homeland. Mm-hmm. And so all of these things are producing, the pains are producing a new world coming into being, getting everything straightened out. And so the expression birth pains comes from, in Matthew 24, 7 through 9, which is a scripture that we're all familiar with. Brother Wade's gone through it a lot, when Jesus preached the seven seals. And this verse 7, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. And if you pull up like on BibleHub.com, and where you can see a translation of this with just about all the other different Bibles, there's like 50 different Bibles you can see translated side by side. And this scripture is translated in many different Bible versions as the beginning of birth pains. And that's where that comes from, the beginning of birth pains, beginning of sorrows, because all these things are producing what I just kind of illustrated. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. And we know how the background, the context of all these things. But really, why did they deliver them up to be afflicted? Because they had a confession, because they believed something, because they were saying, I believe, like in the days of Nero, and the day going all the way back, I don't believe that Nero is the true God. I believe that Jesus Christ is the one true God, and then they began to kill the people for that. Think about all the times when they would say, well, if you'll just give us over your material, the message books of the day, the books that Paul or the different writers of the New Testament had written, just give us those books and then we won't kill you. But yet so many were unwilling to even do that. They stood upon their reputation and they lost their lives because of that. This is just kind of a little illustration that I put together, just kind of showing some of the squeeze that's been taking place. And you've got Brother Branham's seven visions, the seven things that he saw that were going to have to take place about how Mussolini was representing fascism and Hitler representing Nazism would rise, Nazism. And then those two would combine to form communism. And he said they'll wind up in one ism, and that one ism will dominate the world and will burn the Vatican City. Watch Russia, technological advancements, the car that could drive itself, the bubble, and then moving on down into immoral decay, a powerful woman would rise up, and one day America would be in ruin. And all these things are squeezing out to produce this a bride coming back to a millennial reign. It's all this is producing, and you can even see the rise of from going all the way. It's difficult to illustrate this, but all the way back to when Paul was preaching and he said the mystery of iniquity already works, the Antichrist spirit working, moving on to false prophet, and then it comes incarnate in the beast, Satan incarnate, sitting on his throne. And it mirrors what God is doing in his church, taking us through the four stages to put himself back in human flesh. Birth pains, that's what birth pains are. And he said, and you can see how, I didn't even realize this, but Billy Graham and Oral Roberts were born in the same year.
Right.
And if you ever want to know how close we are, look at things like this. We've got to be at the end times, the times when something is being born. And the whole earth has gone through birth pains. And look at these now. And all three of these birth pains for the cleansing of the earth that Brother Branham talked about in the future home and other messages, they started with a message. It wasn't, that's really the point of it. The birth pains come because of a message and because the people catch the message and they begin to believe it and they begin to speak it. Noah caught the message and he began to speak it, and his family got there in the ark with him, and all of these three things, you know, the justification of the earth, the sanctification, and then the purification by fire, which
Amen.
One day will be there will be God's fire, not man's fire.
Amen.
But all of these are birth pains, because the birth pains are taking us from the things of the earth, the believer. The birth pains are doing many different things. The one thing is they're cleansing the earth. They're preparing the earth for the bride to come back and walk on it, on a cleansed earth where there ain't no sin.
Hey.
But another is it's changing us from this earth, from this earthly realm.
That's right.
As you eat the word, you come from the realms of this earth. That's why, Brother Brown, the Bible says, if you love the things of the world, the love of God is not even in you. Because the word is taking you from the world and taking you from seated in heavenly places.
Amen.
With Christ Jesus in another kingdom, in another dimension that only your soul is right now in contact with. But one day, through full redemption, your entire being will be in contact with that other world that you're being birthed into. And see why it's hard to preach. It sounds like we're going to another world, but we're going to be here because God is changing this.
Yeah.
He's changing this place so that we can come back and dwell on it. And so what birth pains is delivering the man child.
That's right.
Which Brother Brown said down here. So I'm going to get to that. So let's read some quotes. Delivering the man child. That seems like a strange thing to say, doesn't it? Because you start off with a little baby being born again and it grows up, and then there's got to be that man child come forth. And to deliver that man-child, a message had to come forth. a message had to come to get the people speaking the same thing. Because that's what birth pains is when the people begin to realize their place and who they are. What makes the shuck pull away? It's when the people begin to, when the bride begins to speak, when she begins to say, I and my Father are one, then the shuck pulls away.
Amen.
All down through Scripture, you can follow that pattern. When the people begin to realize who they are, then when you begin to realize who you were, then the denomination that you were in kicked you out, didn't it? And you can follow that all the way. He said it did that all down through the ages. I'm sorry about my voice, y'all. I apologize.
Get you a drink there,
bro. I don't know if it'll help, but I'll try something.
Ain't nothing worse than a dry breaker. That's right.
It did that all down through the ages until finally the church delivered to them a man child. That man child was the Word itself made flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He conquered every devil, every power upon the earth that come against him with the Father's word only. Every temptation that Satan gave him, he rebuked Satan. Not with his own powers that he had, but with the Word of God. It is written, it is written, it is written, for he was the Word. And didn't Brother Branham teach us that that's the same way that we attack, that we defeat the devil? In the message of harvest time, he taught us about how that you defeat the devil the exact same way that Jesus did, because that corn of wheat has grown all the way down through the church of the seven church ages until it's right back to the way it was at the beginning, where God is manifesting his people and he's equipped us with his word.
That's right.
Come on in, Brother Luis. Better late than never.
Yeah. Put that on tape.
When Satan flew against Eve, she wasn't the Word, so it failed. When he flew against Moses, it did the same thing, but when he hit into the Son of God, he was 10,000 volts. It knocked the loose feathers out of him when he come back and said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. There was that man-child made flesh, God's eternal word himself, manifested in a body of flesh here on earth to represent the word. And then he says, in birth pains, which is really where I'm getting a lot of this, you also have to put everything together, because you can't look at messages as kind of discrete entities. Mm-hmm. Everything fits together like a puzzle. So it all fits together. The Word must deliver the Word bride church. think about that statement. The Word must deliver the Word bride church. Mm-hmm. You come from the Word. You're born from the Word.
Yeah.
And you become the Word.
Right.
And so the Word is delivering a Word bride church.
Right.
I got to make those hand moves.
That's good.
The church has got to be delivered out of her, a bride for Christ. Them that fell asleep in all ages will make up that bride that come out on the Word, that they come out on like from your feet coming to your head. She gets greater and more you have to have, and so forth. As the body grows up, so does the body of Christ grow up. And then finally the head will come to it. The head of it will. Now if we notice, because it's all linked to the head, and this is a good quote I'll share on Brother Luis last Sunday. The head does the turning.
Amen.
Pulling. The head does the turning, pulling. Now there's a lot that could be said about that. You're being drawn up.
Right.
You're being birthed by the head. It's pulling you.
That's right.
Right.
And how's it pulling you? Because didn't Jesus say, no man can come to me except the Father draw him?
Right.
And he's drawing you by the Word.
Right.
And what does that mean, he draws you by the Word? He draws you by. I put together a lot of quotes about this that I don't have, but the bottom line is, if I could just share with you my revelation, and then you could, God gave us a brain and two hands and two feet to go look in the Word and see if it's true or not.
Sure.
But he's drawing us by the revelation of his Word. Because when you get a revelation of what the Word says, then you draw closer to him. It's drawing you and pulling you. And that's what's drawing you into the image of him is this. What is the head? The head is this message that Brother Branham brought to us that is more than just clothes and dress and things like that. But it's a message of full redemption.
That's right.
To know who you are and know that God is able to redeem your body.
Right. Yes.
I can't start crying now because I... This day the scripture is fulfilled, Brother Branham said, saying that the world is in birth pains now. The old has to be done away with so the new can be born, just like a seed has to rot away in order to give new life. And how the pains, birth pains, struck the world. In World War I, she had a terrific pain because they had poison gas and so forth that almost could destroy the world.
Yep.
And in World War II, she struck another harder pain. They had blockbusters and also an atomic bomb. Mm-hmm. She could not stand another labor pain. With these missiles and things today, one more war will throw her out into space, for she will now be delivered, and there will be a new earth. If you think we're not close, I get news that pops up on my phone, and one of the articles that popped up last week was that Donald Trump is planning, or however you want to say it, the government, whatever, is planning, is secretly moving things into position for a nuclear war with North Korea. And so you say, well, that could never happen or whatever, but you know, things are moving into position. Brother Ram said, not one bomb will drop until we are gone. But now, how close do you have to be? It could be pretty close. Things are moving quickly. And so I believe that the bride should be more consecrated now than ever. Something's happening. Of course, now the bride is going to know. She's not going to be duped and deceived, and she's going to have an understanding of what's taking place and know her position and know what needs to be done with the Word.
Yes.
And that's what I'm really speaking of this morning, is the Word has to be spoken. There's got to be a people that know what the Word says, and out of her lips come the Word, and her confession is what will cause it. That's why I mentioned last Sunday, I believe the bride right now is preaching herself into a body change,
right. Mm-hmm.
Because she is speaking the Word.
Right.
Just like that baby, when you come forth crying, Abba Father, you grow up into manifested sons, just like Adam was in the beginning. Adam was a manifested son. His body had not been changed yet. His body needed to be changed, but he was in the Garden of Eden, telling the trees where to go and stopping snowstorms or whatever there was needed to be done by the spoken word. But then there's something even beyond that to Adam, was to wit the redemption of the body, to understand what it takes for your body to be changed. And when the bride begins to realize what that is, then she can begin to speak it, and it will happen. And so what I'm really getting to, one of the things that has to be spoken is that the dead have to rise from the ground first before you can take a body change.
That's right.
And so that's got to be spoken. Somebody's going to speak it.
Amen.
I'm getting ahead of myself in my slides. I'm sorry about my voice, y'all. Y'all just hang in there with me because this is good.
Yes. We're not going anywhere, brother.
So this is what I meant about putting all the things together that Brother Branham spoke about. Because if birth pains happen because the people are catching something, because they're catching a revelation, then what are they catching? In this day, we're catching the revelation of what the shout was. And we know Brother Brown saw in that rapture message, he preached a sermon that was so different than anybody else had ever preached a rapture message. Anything about the rapture that there would be a shout, a voice, and a trump coming. And you know, when I began to read that message, the first times I'd look at it and be like, I don't really know what he's talking about. What in the world, you know? But as you begin to study the message, it begins to unfold exactly what's taking place. And first of all, there has to be, for you to catch a message, there has to be a message first. And this is what produces the birth pains, is this message that God gave us between, not the whole thing now, not necessarily the years of preparation, but when he began to sound his message in 1963, from 1963 to 1965,
right.
That represents the capstone here, you see.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm referring to with the shout. He came down with the shout, and then the people began to catch that.
Yes.
He said, and there's a man here that can turn on the light. Luther's manna was the message of justification. Wesley's message was the manifestation of sanctification. Pentecostal was the restoration of the gifts. But this is introducing the headstone, the last day, the bride tree, which is contrary to all of it. And yet it's the same light for the mature. And there's just the scripture for you to look at. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. And there's a reason we're not going to hinder them that are in the ground, is because we've heard the shout. And the shout is the word for this age that prepares us to give way to all of the complete sway to the Spirit of God, so that He can have preeminence in our lives. So that there's no leaven. There's nothing but the pure, unadulterated Word of God to be spoken. There's not, and that will provide a way for them which are asleep to come forth. And so we will not prevent them which are asleep.
That's right.
They will be able to freely come back to this dimension. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And the shout is what Brother Branham, it compares right over with Malachi 4:5-6. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And I think I was a little bit inspired by that sermon that Brother Wade preached up there at Brother Tim Humes's, and I forget if you had preached it somewhere else as well, but about how that this message is literally turning us.
Yeah.
This message is literally turning the hearts of the children to deliver us, to make the Word be born. That's what's turning us. That's what the shout is to do, is to literally turn us so that the Word can be born in this day. The shout, what is the shout? It's the message going forth first, the living bread of life bringing forth bride. Now, you say, well, the shout is a birth pain, because the shout goes forth and it stirs up denominations, and everybody's wondering what's going on, and causes a great big turmoil and everything. But like I was quoting the last time I was reading that scripture in Ruth, that says that Ruth was better than seven sons. And I compared that with looking at the seven church ages. The birth pain really happens when the bride catches what is being said. That's when the people begin to catch a hold of what's being said. That's when the real shaking happens. That's why you can say that Ruth, the bride, is better than seven sons, because that's the ultimate goal of all of these seven church age messengers, is to produce the Word made flesh again.
Right.
If you just had the seven sons and put them over to the side, then that would be all well and good, but you would be out, you would be without your product.
That's right.
That's right.
Does that make sense?
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, that's a little bit controversial today, because when you say, you make statements like that, people think that you're trying to diminish Brother Branham and say we don't need a prophet anymore. No, we need a prophet more than ever. We need the word. If we didn't have this message that he brought, where would we be? We'd be back in our the denominational system.
Right.
We want to write on down with the rest of them. But what the message was for was to catch a bride and get her to realize her place. And see where she came from, where she's going, who she is, and all those other things.
Right.
Which is why you say, I can make the statement, the bride altogether. That's the main thing, the producing of the bride. According to Malachi 4, he will turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. He will reveal the mysteries of the seven thunders in Revelation 10, which are the revelations contained in the seven seals. It will be these divinely revealed mystery truths that literally turn the hearts of the children to the Pentecostal fathers. It will literally turn us back to the original faith.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
This shout.
Amen.
That's what I was speaking on earlier about when God speaks, you'll come. Christ there. No man can come except my Father draws him. God draws you, then you'll come. And I think so many times we try to reason one another into things, but it's not by reason, it's by a revelation of the Word of God.
Right.
We can't beat one another into seeing it. We can't put one another in a headlock. All we can do is talk to one another and share it with them, but it takes God to reveal Himself to somebody. And you know, a lot of times you want to just kind of open your kids' heads up and pour the Word in and
Amen.
Force it into or one another, but unfortunately it doesn't work like that. It takes God to speak
That's
to them.
Right. Amen.
That's right.
And now you just have faith and believe now, he says. And then he goes on and he's giving some examples in the anointing ones of the end time message. And he said, I've got lots of quotes here, so Lord help me to just kind of piece some of these together.
Come on.
With my thought. Two anointed prophets, how was the difference in them? One had the speaking of the word and the other one didn't. And that goes back to my earlier thought that the birth pains are bringing forth two children, Jacob and Esau.
Right.
One has the spoken word, one didn't. Now, if you go back and look up Hananiah, the one that came against Jeremiah, he had a very interesting background. The Bible says that he was a prophet,
yeah.
And he was the son of a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
And so don't look so much at people's credentials and things like that. You want to look at what that comes out of their mouth, what the word is. And I think so many times we look at somebody's reputation or somebody's credentials and things like that, the reputation in the message, big people in the message or whatever, and ignore so much what's coming out of their mouth. We listen to them because of what somebody said they believed or whatever or didn't believe. But it's what comes out of your mouth that makes the difference. It's not what goes into the belly that defiles a man, but what comes out of his mouth.
Yeah.
Two anointed prophets, Jeremiah and Hananiah, why was the difference? And then one had the speaking the word and the other one different. Jeremiah said amen. And that's what produces the birth pains is when somebody gets to speaking. Somebody gets to saying the same thing.
Right.
Amen.
And so then we get into the voice. Now see, the shout was from 1963 to 1965. A message was delivered and then Brother Branham goes off the scene and seems like it left a lot of people in turmoil.
Yeah.
They didn't know what to believe, didn't know what to expect. And so there's a period from then on to right about now where it's time for the bride to begin eating and to begin to realize who she is. And so that's what I'm calling this period of the voice. Because the voice has to be in somebody. And I believe it's in you.
Amen.
Because there's a quote I'll read in a little bit that the voice has, there's got to be somebody on earth for
right.
God to right. speak through.
Right.
And if Brother Branham is not on earth anymore, and Jesus is not on earth anymore, and you are on earth,
right.
then you are a prime candidate if you will open the doors of your heart and let God come in for God to come and speak through you.
Amen.
And that's what I was getting at is that even from your birth, you come from the womb of the Word, you come forth speaking the Word. As you grow, you speak the Word. It's your confession, you're speaking the Word. But one day you'll understand, and I believe the bride is beginning to understand what to do with the Word and how to speak it.
Yeah.
And as she comes into authority and maturity, where God lets loose the reins a little bit more because He knows that the bride knows what to do with it.
Right.
And she can speak it.
Right.
She can speak it because she's been studying it all these years. She's been feeding on it. She's been eating it. Eating.
That's right.
Just like in Revelation chapter 10, verse 7, it says that in the days of the seventh angel, the mysteries will be finished. But if you keep reading,
right.
John took the book.
Yeah.
And he represents the bride. He took the book.
Right.
And then it says, the angel said, these things must be prophesied again, or however it reads.
Amen.
Those things have to be spoken again.
Right.
Somebody's got to speak what they read in the book.
Right.
Didn't work for a second. And so that's that the same voice, Brother Ray was talking about what the voice is, and he said the same voice that summoned John to come up in Revelation 4, chapter 1, is the same voice that summons dead Lazarus out of the grave, that same voice of the archangel.
Right.
Christ is the voice of the archangel. Oh, that trumpet voice of Christ summons John to come up. The same voice summons Lazarus And keep reading, and he answered, "Here am I," and he come from the dead after he was dead and his body rotten. And you talk about birth pains to come up from the grave with grave clothes all over you, and not really realizing where you are, and things like that. To come up from the grave, that's birth pains, and that's the birth pains that I'm talking about. That we have come from death to life. And there will be a day when the dead rise from the graves and they come forth so that we can go in a rapture. Because you're not going to take a body change until first the dead come forth. That's the order of events. First came the shout, then came the voice, comes the voice to raise the dead from the grave, and then the trump to call us into the air.
Amen.
Where is his voice? This is one that Brother Branham spoke about many times, the scripture, John 14. Yep. "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." In the oneness of unity, he said, "If ye shall say," what is it when you are out from Babylon, you're out from under unbelief, you're out from under superstitions, you're out from under all these things, and you're filled with God's own life, your voice is his voice. You are, I spoke it. In my room a while ago, God told me to do this, and here it is. He's confirmed it right now. And he begins to say how that he's speaking something the Lord showed him. And he said the wind swept through this platform here just now as the Holy Spirit crossed over here, because it was the spoken word of God that did it. And see, I think that's wonderful. The prophet spoke the word. You hear the word. And then you speak the word, and you follow your confession through your life. Brother Branham said it, when you're sick, you speak it anyway, that I'm healed. When you were lost in sin, you begin to tell everybody, "I'm a Christian. I am a Christian." And the people around you might say, "Well, I don't see it yet." But you kept saying it, "I'm a Christian." And after a while, it began to work righteousness because you were speaking it.
That's right.
You got to speak it. And then looking at the message, the masterpiece, where Brother Branham talked about how, and when the great sculptor finished that masterpiece, right, he struck it across the leg and hollered, "Speak." And it made a flaw on it. It put a flaw on the image. Now, what was the flaw? Remember, the flaw was that it was put out. The denominational system, all the world system, couldn't take. They put it out. They struck it to put it out. It was put out of that system. And it then it began to speak, because speaking produces a birth pain. It was perfect, and that's why he cried out, "Speak," because he had seen before him that he was had been able to achieve, to bring to pass the vision that was in his mind, and therefore under inspiration, he done something out of the reason, out of the ordinary. He struck it and hollered, "Speak." And so going back to Romans 8, if you follow this line,
amen,
whereby we cry, "Abba, Father." Mm-hmm. Now we've been taught that God is not a God of sympathy. The only way you can't cry, "Oh God, please, I'm feeling bad," and that kind of thing. The only way to get to God is to approach Him with His Word. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing that moves God, is faith in His Word. He's not a God of compassion. If He was a God of sympathy like that, then everybody there at the pool of Bethesda would have been healed as he just walked from one person to the other. But he went to the one that would respond to the word and would believe and rise to his feet.
Amen.
And so this crying is not just crying out for on some vain idea or something, but it's crying out. The word is speaking the word of God in a baby form. But then you keep growing on up, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God, as it speaks about all this groaning. Birth pains are happening. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Where is his voice? His voice is in you all the way from your birth to being a mature Christian.
Right.
Because when you're sick, listen, you don't have to wait till you're adopted to confess your healing when you're sick. You speak the word and watch it come to pass. And remember, it's not based upon your... It's not based upon crying out for just some vanity or something. But when you cry out to God, put the word before it. Like when I began to seek the Holy Ghost, It seemed like everybody in the message would tell you reasons why you couldn't get it or you couldn't be saved.
Yeah.
And so I began to look through the scriptures to find reasons why, excuse me,
amen,
reasons why this message was for me. And when I found it, I laid it in front of God and said, "You promised it. Now let it come to pass."
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's what this whole journey is. Is you saying, "You promised it. Now let it come to pass."
Right.
And he promised a rapture. He's promised a body change. And it's got, Brother Man, when he was preaching the rapture, he said, "It's been spoken. Now let it come to pass."
Amen.
And he spoke it, but now you got to speak it. You got to speak it. And the only way you can speak it is if you've been eating the word and you understand what needs to be spoken. And then out of your belly will flow living waters as it comes forth from your lips. And you speak exactly what was written. The true interpretation of the word, not just something that was inscribed from an intellectual standpoint on paper, but the real spiritual understanding of what God wanted you to see and to speak.
Amen.
I know my voice is aggravated, but
come on, bro.
This is bothering you, not us.
We can hear you.
And the voice of the sign, Brother Ram, saying, "What does it that do then? There has to be human flesh on earth to speak his voice."
That's right.
There has to be human flesh on earth. That's one of these big giant quotes, I think, that God just gave us to just wield as like a big old mallet up against the devil's head. There has to be human flesh on earth. And if Brother Branham's not on earth, now this is what everybody says. They try to say, well, the shout is Brother Branham and the voice is going to be some minister or somebody, some great man. The shout, they try to make some reason why it can't be you. But Jesus said, "Does not the scripture say that ye are gods who the word came to?" You can speak the word.
Amen.
And even, brother, this is one more Brother Bram said, even said, now when I'm praying, I like this note. Now think about this. God don't see me.
That's right.
He just hears my voice through the blood of Jesus.
Right.
See, he don't see me, he hears my voice.
That's right.
Now this is a real true Son of God speaking the word. And he's all he does is hear that voice speaking the word. And I'll be honest, I believe that's what real prayer is not just saying, "Lord, help me with my schoolwork or whatever." Although those things are good. But real prayer is laying the word of God before him and saying, "You said it," and then watch God move upon the scene and bring it to pass.
Man, that's right.
And I'll stop right there.
Right.
Amen.
Praise God.